You must make a choice. If you're on the Lord's side, self yourself apart. I would call it part two. I thought last week I'd be done with it, but it's not done yet. Okay. The Lord's still teaching me. So therefore, I figured it's a good time to talk about this. When I read the Bible, I realize that that theme is a repetitive theme where God is calling people from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. So, this, I give the credit to a preacher I saw online. I don't even remember, I was trying to remember his name. The church is actually in Georgia, and he was preaching on 1 John, where it says, do not love the world and the things in the world. You know, you guys know this verse, but he had a subject lesson with two ladders. And I thought, you know what? I like that, because that goes with, you remember last week I told you, I couldn't continue to live my life and enjoy my Virginia Beach life if my head was still in Haiti. Remember that? And that is a work the Lord did in me, because I had no idea I was struggling with that. And I couldn't move forward until I was set free from the past. From what I know, it was a good thing, but that's not where I was. So therefore, for me to move forward, for God to move forward with you, you must accept where He's leading you. And I say that again. For you to move forward with the Lord, you need to stop. Oh, there's a saying that says that. Stop looking back. You're not going that way. You might fall. You might hit something. You know, some people, they want to do life like this. Stop looking back. You're not going that way. You know, that's why I said, I told you guys to read the book of Exodus. Because when you read the book of Exodus, man, I don't remember the exact number of people that left Egypt. Can you believe it? From everybody that left Egypt, only two made it to the promised land. You know why? Because they were doing this. And they even forget they were in bondage. So we can't serve God, one foot in the kingdom of God and the other foot in the world, in the kingdom of darkness. So just turn with me for a minute right here. Everybody start life down here, right? We born, baby, you know, your mother takes care of you, and then before you know it, you're 50. You know, that's me, okay? I'm talking about me. You know, so life is very short. Some people said, according to the, you know, whatever standard they live by, they think this is the top of the world. And I tell you, this is, you know, talking about the American dream, you know, the American dream has different meaning for different people. But at least we all want to make it right here, right? We want to make it where we like, yeah, this is comfortable, yeah. Adian, come here. Yeah, don't be afraid, guys. Okay? So a lot of people just stay by here, right here. And if I'm falling, at least I'll fall on your head. You know, so we all want to be right here, right? Wherever we started, of course, we start low, but everybody wants to be like, yeah, I've made it. But let's assume this is the ladder of the kingdom. It's an infinite ladder. This thing's got no end to it. Are you with me? So, we born. And then we become a child. We understand the difference between truth and lies, the difference between darkness and light. So then we realize, oh, I'm a sinner. And because I'm a sinner, every sinner must accept Jesus, who is the light of the world, right? Jesus is the answer to our world. He's the answer to our lives. So therefore, we must repent of our sins, right? We repent of our sins. We accept Christ as our Savior, our Redeemer. And the thing is, when you accept Jesus, for all of you here who understand what I'm saying, when you've experienced the character of Christ, Jesus is the best thing that can happen to anybody, right? Can I have an amen? That's right. You know, I mean, a relationship, I'm not talking about being stiff, religious, I'm not talking about Baptist, Pentecostal, I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about an encounter, right? And that encounter is like, it changes you. I mean, it brings joy, it brings peace, it brings hope. But this is where the challenge begins. As we do life, we still want to do life on our own and in the kingdom. This is actually not too bad. This is very comfortable. You know, some people want to do life like this, right? One foot in the world, yes, world, and then, yeah, kingdom. Yeah. So I'm not really in the world, but I'm not either fully in the kingdom. Are you with me? So, but the problem is, you can't do this. It's the word of the Lord says you cannot do that. You cannot be salt and non-salt. You cannot be salty and non-salt. What's the word? I messed it up last week too. You cannot be darkness and light. Clean water, dirty water, doesn't come the same stream. So, some people even try like this. You know, Jesus, the world, Jesus. This is still actually not too bad. But if you come to a church like Restoration Church at Lansdowne, we're going to call you up. We're going to disciple you. We're going to call you up. I need somebody here. This is actually start not to feel too comfortable. Yeah, some people, that's how they want to live. Some people, yes, right? Some people, they want to follow Jesus like this. This is so miserable. You can't enjoy the world. Can't enjoy the world. Do whatever you want. You can't even enjoy the kingdom. There's that constant fight. Well, I don't even think I can try. Yeah, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But you got the picture? Because right here, you must make a choice. I don't know which season in your life it is. I don't know what season in your marriage, in your relationship, in your walk with people. I don't know what season it is where you can't continue like this. I can't. So if you are on the Lord's side, guess what you must do? Let's go now. But that's it. But unless you're willing to do that. Thank you, guys. You know, when I saw, I kind of add a little, thank you, brother. Thank you, Dion. You know, when I saw he was doing that, but his example was totally kind of different, but it goes with what I'm talking about. It's impossible. I want you to picture this in your life. I mean, in your mind. I want every day for you to see those two ladders. Life is ladder, right? Everybody's trying to get up there. But we cannot serve money, the devil, Diablo, Satan, and pretend to serve God at the same time. You must make a choice. And I know for a fact there are people in our church right now. There are people who have been with us. There are people that are listening to this. They are right there. They're struggling. It's hard. They don't know what to do. They know what to do. They just don't want to make a choice. You know, the sad thing is either death come or Jesus comes and finds you. Those are the people the Bible calls in Revelation lukewarm Christians. You know, lukewarm Christians. Like they're like yo-yo Christian.
Yo-yo. Those are yo-yo Christians.
Yeah? Up and down, up and down, up and down. You get nowhere. Or yo-yo gets nowhere. That makes sense? So, let me tell you. You must make a choice. You have to make a choice. There's something I said here a couple weeks ago, and I want to clarify it, because I believe sometimes the enemy can use a good challenge to bring condemnation. And I believe when I said it, I tried to balance it, but just in case. God is a excellent, he's a perfect God, okay? We're not perfect, but we strive to be like him, right? I strive to be like God in everything I do. Am I there? No. Will I ever get there? No. But I live to be like my Father. And sometimes when I can't be like him, I can't love like him, I can't talk like him, I can't treat Kendra like I should, I went to Jesus. I said, Lord, I really need, this heart really needs you. When I feel like I want to quit, I go to Jesus. I go to the cross. I say, Father, I want to quit. That's not your will for me, but I want to quit. Holy Spirit, I really need you now. I really need strength. I need vision. I need passion. I need you to breathe on me. So the enemy is also at work. He's bringing discouragement. But we're here to call you up. And I believe and I know God is a God of excellence. So everything we do, we must do it with excellence. So a couple weeks ago, maybe a month, I talk about us being late. People that comes to service late. Now, there's no guilt. My brothers and sisters, I'm not putting guilt on anybody. I'm calling you up. So if anybody comes here, or you wake up Sunday morning, you better be late than not showing up. Can I have a better witness? Yes. Tell your neighbor, you better be late than not showing up. That's it. Help me out. You better be what? Late than not showing up. But you know what? The enemy can use this. The enemy can use this to be like, oh man, you hear my voice condemning you. You're late. You're not going to show up. Pastor's going to look at you under his glasses and look like, you're late. No. There's no guilt. There's no guilt. I'm calling you up because sometimes being late has nothing to do with you weren't planning on being late. But at the same time, I am challenging the undisciplined ones. Because there are people, they can't be late at work. They can't be late at whatever rendezvous they have. But it's like, oh, it's church, you know. No, you don't work like that. You don't function like that. You know, so for those of you who heard this and sometimes you come late to the service, because I've heard it. I actually talked to somebody. I didn't see them for a couple of weeks. And I said, so what happened? You know, where are you at? It's like, man, you know, we've been having hard weeks and stuff. And every time we wake up to it's always late and we don't show up. And they said, we remember what you said about being late. Then that kind of opened my eyes too to realize when I say we should be on time, I'm not telling you you shouldn't come if you're late. You better be late than not being here. Because you want to be here. God wants you to be here. The enemy doesn't want you to be here. You know, it's not, once again, guys, it's not by law. It's by the Spirit. Amen? Can everybody say amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Thank you for that. So, let's go back. You must make a choice. Those on the Lord's side, last week I talked to you from Exodus 32. Moses gave the people of Israelites the opportunity to make a stand for the Lord. And we know the Levites, for those of you who are reading the book of Exodus, I bless you for doing that, because I suggested that you read the book of Exodus. God will open your eyes on many things in the book of Exodus. At the time in chapter 32, it only made sense for the people, for the Levites, to side with God. In the time we live right now, it only makes sense for anybody, if you're really thinking about it, the end of time, for us here, for me and our church, it only makes sense to my spirit to side with God, to side with the Holy Spirit. I don't want anything else, because nothing else will satisfy. So being on the Lord's side requires three things. I put them on the screen. Being on the Lord's side requires, first of all, a decision. First of all, a decision, right? So have you make a decision? You're making a decision now, maybe? Which side am I on going to be on? Which side? Being on the Lord's side, world ladder, kingdom ladder. I got to make a choice. I got to make a choice. I mentioned last week, let's say we're doing a concert, spiritual concert. We invite one of the famous band that sings praise and worship here. And I've got some unbelieving friend. I bet you if I invite them, they won't come. But then we go to their wild parties. We go to crazy concert where the guy that's singing, he's possessed. He drugged up before he sing. They're screaming at you. Yes, I'm calling you to be a part. We live in this world. I'm not saying you don't go to a jazz concert, you don't go to people singing. No, once again, people can take what I'm saying right here, say, and they could be like, well, he's being legalistic. No, that's not legalistic, because I'm not telling you shouldn't go to whatever concert. If you live by the Spirit, even watching movies, you'd know if you live by the Spirit which movie you shouldn't watch in the name of entertainment. So to be on God's side, you must make a decision. What decision are you making? Are you choosing to be holy? Are you choosing to be set apart? Oh, I am. I pray that's what you choose. Number two, being on the Lord's side also requires action. So, you know, you see somebody that repent, but then they never change. Your repentance is worthless. So let's say I stole something. Example. So then somehow I come to church, or I start reading the Bible, and my conscience say, Ricardo, you know what you did was wrong. You stole this. You were dishonest. You need to repent. And I'm like, yeah, Lord, I'm sorry. Thank you for my conscience. That's right. Amen. But you know what I must do? Whatever I stole, I must return it. Uh-huh. When I return it, that enables me, next time I find myself in a situation to steal, It enables me to make a choice not to steal. Guys, God created us in His image, so He gave us the will. And I love this. It says, vouloir, c'est pouvoir. Where there's a will, there's a way. Vouloir, c'est pouvoir. If you're willing, and think about it, when you're willing to be on time, unless there's a major obstacle, the bridge got up, because here we're so blessed with bridges. You will be. If you make, I love this saying, From it says, if you want to do, if in this world you can be anything, if you can be anything in this world, be kind. I don't know whoever came up with this. I'm like, yes. So being kind is also a choice. But kindness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So to be on the Lord's side requires what? Number one, decision. Number two, an action. Listen, God wants us to be mature. And I want all of us to be so mature that when it's like, you know, God bless parents with kids that remains baby for a long time. God bless them. You know, sometimes, you know, the child has got some issues. It takes special parent. It takes special parent. It's a lot of work. But when you have a child, you know, they're growing. They're becoming mature. They can bathe themselves. And if you have another child, they can even help you. You guys remember? They can even help you with the young ones. Oh, man, that's like, yeah. Spiritually, God wants you to become mature Christians. There is no time to constantly be feeding you milk. Talking about get rid of sin, self-control. It's about time we get empowered by the Holy Spirit and we go out there and we cast demons. It's time we know who we are in Christ. So you know your identity doesn't come from people. So nobody can put me down. People can say whatever they want. Every tongue, every nation, every people. I'm proud to be a black person. God created me this color. As a matter of fact, when you mix all the colors together, guess what you got? So I am the original. You guys got it. But I say all this to say, I know who I am in Christ. Jesus is my identity. Not my skin color, not where I come from, not where I live, not what I drive. You know, Jesus is it. You know, that's the power of the gospel. When the Holy Spirit comes, the light of the Holy Spirit frees your mind. It frees your mind. In 1804, in my birth country, the slaves came together. They fought against the French and the Spanish. They killed them. But then they had the crazy, I think I mentioned this here, they had the crazy slogan, the crazy purpose or vision. It was like, burn everything, kill everybody. So you've got a bunch of slaves. They want freedom so bad. Of course, I support the fact slavery is evil. No other man should own any other person. So we're going to fight. And we're going to fight for our lives. But we're going to burn everything? Well, where are we going to live? Okay, so I'm going to fight for my freedom, but I'm going to burn the town down. You see how nonsense that is? And that's what the enemy does. That day in 1804, the chain was broken from their hands. It remains there. Because after they fought against the Spanish and the French, they couldn't trust each other. And still today, the pearl of the island has become like the trashy place. Because they're fighting each other. And I tell you, that's one of the reasons we're there still, bringing through our ministry school the gospel. Because I know, I grew up there. And I know it is the power of the gospel that saved that mindset. Because I'm like, guys, I got delivered. And I get it. I'm like, my teacher was so racist, they caused me to hate white people. I used to despise different colored people. And then God's got a good sense of humor. Yeah, it's crazy. I used to be terrible. The gospel, the kingdom mindset. Jesus came, he's like, no, this is, the light turned on for me. I'm like, oh yeah. So I'm talking to my brothers, my countrymen. I'm like, guys, it's nobody owns you anything. You got to work for it. Decision number three. To be on the Lord's side requires separation. The principle of sanctification of separation is a kingdom concept. Being set apart is sacred. You're special. You are special. Don't listen to what people say. You know, I've known people, they you know, after birth, they call their kids misery. Yeah, I know. You know why? Because during labor, it was painful. Misère, misérable. Misery. Some people call their kids pain. I know, used to have a friend, her parents call her sadness because they were so sad. Then she give her life to the Lord. She's like, man, there's a spirit of death and sadness that's always attacking me. And then of course she became really mature and she got enough money. She changed her name to Joy. God's calling us to make a choice. A kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. And I say, as a church, let's all go together. Those of the kingdom of God must separate themselves from the kingdom of darkness. The call to side either with the world or with God remains the subject of the Bible. Why do you think I'm always like, read the Bible? Something that's happening to me now, it's like when I'm reading the Bible, you know, sometimes don't read the Bible in a chore mindset. You know, when you have to do chores, quick sweep, put everything under the, you know. But man, when you like to clean, I don't clean, guys. I clean if she gets on my back. But that's what, I used to clean like that, by the way. You know, when your mom asks you to clean at my mom's house, you throw everything under the carpet. Don't do that. God is so good to us. He's a loving Father. So He wants what's good to you for you. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 from the NLT. It says, today I've given you the choice between life and death. Between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life. So that you and your descendant might live. You can make this choice. It's like God is begging the people. He's like, guys, choose life. And then you will live. And he says, choose by loving the Lord your God, obeying Him. You see, loving God without obeying Him means nothing. The best way you can show you love God is by obeying Him. John chapter 14. If you love me, obey my commandments. Don't be a stiff-necked religious nut. If you love God, obey Him. You will experience joy. You will experience peace in your relationships. It goes on to say, this is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors. Now, go back again when you read the book of Exodus with these thousands of people that left Egypt, only two made it to the promised land. It goes to tell you and I, God doesn't pay the beginning. He pays the end. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. It doesn't matter if 5 years ago I was on fire for Jesus. It doesn't matter if 6 years ago I was worshiping the Lord, worshiping Jesus, like, you know, much less, with much less attitude. It doesn't matter. At the end, will He find me faithful? Will He find me remain? Remain. That's why don't look at people. Don't fix your eyes on people. Yes, God's gonna put people in your life. Mentors, people you can look up to. But Jesus must remain the focus. King Jesus is the hero. No one is the hero. He defeated death. He defeated sickness. He defeated religion. So you and I, we could experience the liberty we find in the kingdom. Deuteronomy chapter 22, I really love. This is actually, I like the way it says, the King James. You know, sometimes I read many versions, but this is the only time you can use this word in church. It says, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. I know some of you are like, oh, he said ass. Yes, it's in the Bible. It's Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse. That's why you should never assume. Because every time you assume, you're making an ass out of yourself. A donkey. You must not plow with an ox and a donkey harnessed together. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're talking about being separated, right? And this is a very touchy subject right here. And I'm going to read it. 2 Corinthians, in your Bibles, before we get to verse 11, I want us to read verse 3. You don't have to go on there because you did your part, okay, brother back there. But for us in the Bible, I want us to start 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Paul's talking. I'm going to read from the NIV. It says, okay, you guys find it. Thank you. Thank you for bringing your Bibles in church. Hallelujah. Your phone, you know, you got it on your phone too. That's awesome. Found it? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. I'm going to read from the NIV. It says, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commit ourselves in every way in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distress. Now remember, who is talking? Apostle Paul. Paul wasn't a dummy. When you read Paul's resume, he was it. He was smart. Paul had it. Bam, he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. And that guy suffered. Verse 5. He says, in beatings, imprisonments, in riot, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger. Anybody else want to join Jesus' team? This is the captain of the team talking right here. It's like, it's not easy. But I love this. It says, in hunger, verse 6, in what? Purity. Understanding. Patient and kindness in the Holy Spirit, in sincere love. That's a package for the gospel. When you want to serve, follow Jesus, yes, you will. And I believe that's what's happening with a lot of Christians, because they're not living a life under the power of the Holy Spirit. So they're more, they care more about what others think of them. So it's like me. I love Jesus, and I want everybody to know I love Jesus. But I'm not just saying this. I want my life to reflect that I love Jesus. I want, when people encounter me, when somebody cut me off in traffic, when traffic is heavy on 264, wherever that, whatever you call those roads up there. I was on there the other day. I'm like, man, God bless people who drive that road every day. This is the time you really, when you're in traffic, you need to crank the radio up singing, I have decided to follow Jesus. You know, the Lord bless you and you're coming in your traffic. You know, this is the time, seriously. I was in the traffic. I'm like, you know what? This is the time to really pray in tongues in the spirit. You know, do spiritual warfare. Pray for people that drive crazy. You know, you're like, man, this person, he must be going to something. This is the time. Verse 8, let's go there. It's chapter 6. Through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as imposters, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Oh my goodness. Paul is saying here. Guys, I read this the other day. I'm like, God, thank you. Because I've never been beaten for the gospel. People talk bad, but I've never been. I look at this list and I'm looking at my life. Sometimes we've got a person that died in the family. We've got people that give us hard time. You know, we have bad report. We've got bad news. You know, some family members sick. But you know, the guy is just, the list goes on. Sorrowful, yeah, but he's like, I've got joy. He says, you know, all this, I've got joy. Oh, he says, he goes on, poor yet making many rich. So even in his need, he gives. Having nothing and yet possessing everything, because he live a life of faith. God, Jehovah Jireh, always provide. That's why I tell you guys, do not panic. When you hear what's happening in the world, maybe your bank account does not have a lot of money, you know, you keep working hard, but you live by faith. You live by faith. You do your part. Our faithful God will keep his word. We have spoken freely to you, verse 11, Corinthians, I'll say restoration, and open wide your hearts to you. Paul's saying, I love you with all my heart. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. Remember, the church in Corinth was a messed up church. They had a lot of issues. They had a lot of carnal Christians. And then, this is where we go to verse 14. He's like, I'm going to talk to you as my children. Do not be unequally yoked. Where did Paul find this? Deuteronomy chapter 22. Paul knows the laws. He knows God's law. Back in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, God's telling the people, listen, when I move you from slavery to the land of promise, when you go there, do not intermarry. Do not worship the idol. So when you get there, these are the instructions. This is how I want you to live. This is how I want you to get rid of the idols. I want you to be holy, for I am holy. I choose you to be my people. And then Paul goes on, verse 14. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Let's make this little repetition right here. I am the temple of God. Say that over you. I am the temple of God. And you are. I'm not just telling you to repeat something. You are the temple of God. So should you defile the temple of God? No, you should not. It goes on to say, for you are the temple of the living God, as God said. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, you must make a choice. That's another way to say this verse. Come out of them. You must make a decision, right? Action, and then separate yourself. Be separate, the Lord says. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be your father, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. Now, put the picture up there for me. I've been in ministry for 20 years, 14 years out of that. I've been in ministry in full time. Sometimes I've had, in the year of 2017, I married probably 80 couples, and now they're all having kids in our church. But sometimes one would come to me with an unbelieving lover. Listen, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, now if you're married, glory to God, 1 Corinthians already take care of that. But for those of you young people here who wish to be married, priority number one, if you're a true follower of Jesus, you can't date an unbeliever. Amen? This is the word of the Lord. And I can sit here and tell you stories. I've known people who got married and they know they should not have married such so-and-so. And the reason why, it's because the so-and-so person wasn't a believer. But they were in love. Do not, guys, listen to this. Give me the next picture. It doesn't work. I know a friend of mine, he has a business in Florida. He decided he's going to go in business with an unbeliever. I have a business. I would never go in business with an unbeliever. Oh, they're good business partners, but our values are not the same. Are they bad people? No, they're not bad people. We're not saying unbelievers are bad people. No, that's not what we're saying. It's just the values are different. So somewhere, sooner or later, the two values are going to clash. And I tell you, you better eat it up, the consequence, when it clashes. Because you know what they're going to say? Oh, you're the one that calls yourself a Christian. They're the one that's going to say that. Oh, you call yourself a Christian? They're going to fight you. Do not be unequally yoked. Now, yes, you must have friends that are unbelievers. But I bet you, if you are truly following Jesus, on fire for Jesus, your best friend can't be an unbeliever. Your best buddy. Your best buddy. Somebody that knows all your little secrets. If you're really truly a follower of Jesus, it can't be an unbeliever. Because that unbeliever, you and that person share not the same. You do not share the same values. Next picture. This is what being equally yoked means. Look at these guys. I really had to go and look for that. And I'm like, wow, God has a reason when he said, do not be unequally yoked. You can't be a follower of Jesus and pretend. You can't be in the world and pretend to follow Jesus. You either one or the other. Wow. Next picture. Equally yoked, this is it. Doesn't this look beautiful? I like these guys. They look cool. They're getting it done. They're getting it done, huh? They're having a really good conversation right now. What do you think? I think the one on the left is George. The one on the right is Sam. Oh, not Samuel. They're getting dead. Oh, guys. Let me finish with this. This is a story, good story. Mark chapter 10. The rich guy. There's so much in there. I'm going to read from the NIV. As Jesus started on his way, a man went to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, What must I do to inherit eternal life? Right there. The guy was rich. Apparently, he had good reputation. Apparently, somehow, he noticed that Jesus is a good teacher. Right? Those are all points for the guy. And he came to him saying, what must I do to have what? Eternal life. So therefore, the rich man right there noticed in his life, he did not have eternal life. Right? In our context, kingdom context, he did not have a relationship with God. Verse 18. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. So right there, Jesus kind of refocuses his attention. He's like, yeah, you really need God. But that's good. You acknowledge I'm good, but God is it. Verse 19. You know the commandments. From the Ten Commandments, right here, Jesus throws six at him. You shall not murder, not only physically, but in our context, Jesus goes deeper. He said, if you harbor bitterness in your heart against someone, so if someone hurts you and you wish harm for them, that's murder. Let you think on that for a couple seconds. That's murder. Revenge. You must not do that. You shall not commit adultery. Not only physically, but it goes not only for the married people, but for the young people, unmarried person. You should not live in fornication. You know, for those of you with younger kids, you know, we're not going to go deep, but I believe that's why, you know, you parents, you talk to those things about your kids. You know, our kids, we teach them. I mean, they're young adults now, but we talk to them about those things. Jesus goes on and says, you should not steal. You shall not give false witness, testimony. You shall not defraud or cheat your neighbor. And then Jesus threw this one in there. Honor your father and your mother. Oh, guys, I love this passage of scripture right there. The guy's like, teacher? I can picture the guy listening to Jesus. Good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? Because he's serious. He's like, I see you, the Messiah. What must I do to be like totally committed to you, have eternal life, a relationship with you? Oh, you know the commandments, right? Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. And the guy is looking at Jesus, he's like, oh, man, I've been following these things. He's like, man, hang on, Jesus. I had no idea I already had eternal life. Because really, according to Jesus' answer, you would think he has eternal life, right? And this is our message right here. Jesus said, one thing you lack, you're missing one thing. And this passage right there is telling us it's not about following the laws. You could be following all the Ten Commandments. But if you're not fully committed, because you know I can follow the laws and I'm not fully committed to Jesus. I can come to church, give my tithe. I can worship with my hands up. I'm faithful to my wife. I don't steal. I'm honest. You know, I don't talk bad about people, you know, and then, so I'm good. Some people, I tell you, I know some people in my life, they're not following Jesus, but I look at their life, I'm like, man, this guy, I've got one neighbor, I pray for him all the time, we pray for them. I said, this guy, he's got quality of a believer. He's got quality of a believer. I talk with him, I mean, I'm like, oh, Lord, I said, God, save him. You know, he told me he believed in God. But But then I have another neighbor. They go to church, man. I'm trying my best to be nice to them because they can't be nice. Yeah, they're not nice people. But I'm always be nice to them. But they go to church. It's not about the laws. We got to make a choice. We either with Jesus, and I believe that's what happened to the church in the past 50 years, maybe shorter than that. The world look at our life, they're like, okay, you should be different, but you're not. You should be salt, but you're not bringing any savor. You're not curing anything. You should bring life, but you're not really bringing life. Then Jesus told the guy in end of verse 21, go, what? Go and sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have a treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. This word, come follow me here, when you studied it, it means make a choice. Go give everything you have, sell it. Jesus is saying, yeah, you follow all these principles, but I'm not on the throne of your heart. Guess what's on the throne? Your possession. So since Jesus knows the heart, he goes directly to his heart. He says, yeah, you have no problem following the law, but you have a problem of me leading. See the difference? I have no problem following, doing. Some of us are doers. We do. We work for the Lord. You know, we here and there. Sometimes you go on mission. You give money to mission. You serve in the church. You're always available. You're looking for ways to serve at the church. And Jesus is saying, oh, that's all good stuff, but it's your stuff. You are on your heart, on the throne of your heart. I want to sit on the throne. That's the position Jesus is asking for. But you know, that request right there, the sad thing, the rich man went away sad because he got caught right there. Remember that position on the ladders? He got caught right there. And Jesus is like, yeah, you in the position, you kind of doing okay, you feel comfortable, but I really need you to make a choice. What would you choose? Oh, he didn't choose Jesus, according to the story. He went home sad because he had so much. When he thought on the price to pay to make that choice, he wasn't ready. And I pray for us that never happened to us. I pray that we can count the price to be truly devoted to Jesus. More than ever. Listen to me. We are at a place right now, there's no man, no person that can save our beloved America. We need a change of heart. People need to turn to the Lord. So please, this season, we focus. Yeah, you pray, you do whatever you got to do. But make that choice to keep Jesus on the throne of your heart. Because there are so many seeds planting out there. So many seeds of hate, seeds of this camp, that camp. Listen to me. Make a choice and don't be like the rich man. And I'm going to ask Dan to come up and pray and play. And I believe this morning in conclusion, what happened to this man, we don't want it to happen to us. Amen? I don't want it to happen to me. No, I don't. I want the real thing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, Lord. And I believe that if not all of us, most of us here, we find ourselves in a position to really make a choice. But Lord, we're choosing you. We are choosing you. Thank you for your word this morning, Lord. I'm just going to take a couple minutes to give you guys a time to respond to the word of the Lord. As you meditate and go in your heart, if you need to make a decision, you know, I'll just make myself available for prayer, to pray with you. If you need to repent, make things right, come to the altar. You know, if you're doing good, yeah, just get bigger on your conviction in following Jesus.